said that the quest for freedom can lie found at the core of every human being. If you love freedom the way we love freedom, then you've come to the right place. This is the Freedom Message with Stephen Benson. Live free, think free, talk free, toll free. The number is 877-270-8714. Or call us directly at 530-413-4515. Canadian residents call toll free at 888-228-4494. Let's talk freedom. Give us a call.
Tuning in to the Freedom Message with Stephen Benson live on BBSRadio.com. Again, the number to call into the show is 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. And I am looking forward to taking your call and talking Ron Paul with you. Talking freedom. And Ron Paul Revolution. Got a very full show for you today. Lots of new material from the media, University of Michigan rally, Ron Paul on the Abrams Report on CNBC, Ron Paul on Tucker Carlson. Post-debate interview with Carl Cameron. C-SPAN. We're going to have a visit from the Ron Paul lead coordinator in the state of Michigan, Mr. Paul Garfield, who's responsible, I would assume responsible in large part for the fantastic, huge rally at the University of Michigan. Between 2,000 and 2,500 people, the largest Ron Paul rally to date. Absolutely impressive. You must Google that and look at the crowd. It's enormous. We'll play a little bit of Dr. Paul's speech. Let's go ahead and go to that now. We'll play Dr. Paul's speech at the University of Michigan. Now, this is really quite an excellent speech. It is a half hour long, and we have a lot to get to today, so I cannot play the whole thing, but I do want to give you some flavor. So let's go ahead and get that up. Give me a second here. Still, here we go. Okay. Still learning this new software that I'm working with. Okay, here we go. Ron Paul at the University of Michigan.
Ron Paul.
Huge crowd.
Thank you very much.
Very dark. It's at night. It appears to be almost all students. Now, you consider it's University of Michigan at night. Classes are over. These are not people casually passing by.
I did hear
they came for Dr. Ron Paul.
To the University of Michigan, it's great to be with you tonight. You know, we had a little debate tonight. Anybody get a chance to watch that?
Yeah!
Probably the most astounding thing that I heard at that debate was this idea that if you're thinking about starting a war, you don't do anything but you call your lawyers to find out what you're supposed to do. And my subtle suggestion was, why don't you read the Constitution and find out? We've gotten into so much trouble because we don't do that very simple thing. Isn't it magnificent? The Constitution is rather small, easy understood, and yet we're in so much trouble merely because we don't listen to and watch and listen to the Constitution. This is something that seems to go beyond imagination because they totally ignore it. But I'll tell you what, when I go around the country now and getting large crowds, which is a real delight, and when I'm asked why I think the crowds are coming, I think it's very simple. I think partially it's me, but I think the real reason is the people, especially the young people, are sick and tired of what they're getting, and they want something to change it.
He's right. People are sick and tired, and they want to change.
There are various reasons. You know, young people, they know their arithmetic. They know that things like Social Security is not solvent. So when I offer a program, which is a principled program of cutting back here and cutting back here and allowing all young people to get flat out of the Social Security system they want, they rally to it. Save the money because I have no intention of throwing people out on the street. We taught several generations to be very dependent on government programs. So that's not the intent. But in order to tide people over and to work a transition, there's a perfect way to do this, and it's not difficult. And that is, quit all this spending overseas, wasted money. With cancer or AIDS, can't even smoke marijuana, even if it's helping out.
Okay, so back this. Yeah. You're jumping ahead a little bit.
Fire one up.
Well, the first thing is they shouldn't violate the state laws, and the other sense is people should have freedom of choice. That's what this country is all about. You know, just the other day on television, one of our candidates on the Republican side was flat out asked by an individual. It looked like he was in a wheelchair. It looked like he was suffering from multiple sclerosis. And he said he was benefited by smoking marijuana. And he asked one of the candidates, and he said flat out, he didn't use the words, but his answer essentially said, "I'll still arrest you. I don't believe that you're allowed to do that." These kind of problems can always be dealt with by just looking to freedom of choice. You don't have to endorse. See, I endorse freedom of choice for everybody here. But that doesn't mean that I will endorse everything that you do. You know, and that's a big difference. And that is the problem with libertarianism and conservatism and constitutionalism, because if you say that you legalize freedom of choice, they say, oh, that means you support and condone. And that is not the case. Freedom permits these freedom of these voluntary choices. In economics, it's the same thing. For some reason, about 100 years ago, this country came to the notion and thought personal liberty was separate from economic liberty. And it's not the case. It's all in the one. If you believe in personal liberty and allowing people to lead their own lives, then economically it is the same thing. Just because I allow you to I want to let you have your own life, I want you to have the extension of your life. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and I want you to have incentives to earn and take care of yourself, but I want you to keep the fruits of your labor. Incentive in the world. Now, if we had that, you know, there'd be a few minor changes that we would have to make in Washington, like repeal the 16th and get rid of the IRS. Based on a very evil notion. It's based on the fact that the government owns our lives. Even if the tax is only 1% or 2% or 3%, it says the government owns 100% and they allow you to keep a certain percent. That cannot stand in a free society. Another issue that demonstrates the government owning lives comes with the military draft. The military draft is anti-liberty. Fight wars that are undeclared and unnecessary if they need the troops that they will have to call up a certain group of individuals. Today they're talking about that again. Today they're talking about bombing Iran. That means the spreading of the war. That is why there's a lot at stake, and also I think that is the reason that the young people are rallying to the cause of liberty and limitation of government power by the Constitution. We're getting a lot more questions about the economy. One of the big questions tonight in the debate was, you know, the people say they're having trouble financially, they're worried, they have concern, but the government statistics tell everybody everything is perfect, and they wonder why the difference. Well, did you ever know that governments tend to be deceitful and not tell us the truth about what's going on?
No.
But we are having trouble, and this state is having trouble, and it's related to what our federal government does. Now, most people come and they say, well, what is your policy for to help the people of Michigan? Well, it's the same policy for everybody. You need more freedom. You need more, less taxation, less regulations. You need a better economic system. But this today, the fact that some people are falling through the cracks is related to the monetary system. People can work two jobs, their incomes can go up, but their income actually, in real terms, goes down. Real income has been going down for 7 years right now. You cannot solve that problem without looking at the monetary issue. It's called monetary debasement. It's debasing the currency. And how do they do it? Very simple. They just print it. We need to prohibit the printing money. We need to deal with the Federal Reserve System.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and pause that there. So what you heard was the University of Michigan students and others, I would presume, chanting spontaneously, gold, 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 gold. Very interesting. The message is getting out, and it's getting to people that the root of our problems is the monetary system, the Federal Reserve System. That word is getting out. Lou Rockwell wrote in his blog that apparently these students were holding up dollar bills and lit them on fire like little candles at a rock concert, like little lighters flashing at a rock concert, burning their dollar bills as they chanted gold, 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 which incidentally was up sharply today as the dollar yet again plunged. So something's going on. Great speech. I encourage you to listen to all of it. You'll have to Google that online to find it and listen to it, but it's definitely worth a listen to in its entirety. I like the focus on freedom and freedom of choice. Endorsing freedom of choice does not mean that you endorse everything that we choose to do, which is a frequent common mistake. That's a real good nugget to keep in your pocket when you're talking to people, because they can't seem to get that straight and keep it clear. You know, endorsing freedom of choice does not equate to endorsing everything that people should do. It simply means that we choose to not exercise power over people's choices. And people should be free to make mistakes with their lives. And people should be free to fail economically. They should be free to take risk and fail. It's going to happen. So there's no use in trying to control it with government interventionism into people's lives and into the economic life of the nation. As he says later on in the speech, neither he nor anyone else is smart enough to run the economy. Neither he nor anyone else is smart enough to set interest rates. The market's supposed to do that. So, freedom, again. Now, on that subject, I would like to say this. Freedom, use it or lose it. Use it or lose it, like those sick days they give you. You know, use it or lose it. Well, that's where we are right now today. Folks, I spoke with some friends in the New York Ron Paul meetup, and they were planning on participating in this weekend's All America Walk in support of Ron Paul's freedom message, and they will not be participating in it. They will be participating in it by form of having a rally with and for Ron Paul outside of his hotel, but they won't be having a walk. And do you want to know why? They won't have a walk because in New York City, you need permission from the government to walk down the street. You need permission from the government to walk down the street with your friends carrying a sign. You need a permit. That's what it means, permission. You have to go on hand and knee, bend your knee to the government, and ask them permission to walk down the street in the nation's largest city. That's where we are today. Now, if that isn't a barometer of the dictatorship that we are falling into, then I don't know what is. Because I thought it was pretty much a given that you can walk down the street with your friends carrying a sign as long as you're peaceably assembling, as long as you're not obstructing anybody's freedom of movement, whether vehicular or pedestrian. It would seem to me an unquestionable and inalienable right of every American. Well, apparently that's not the case, because in New York City, you can't do it without getting the permission of the government. Absolutely phenomenal. Another example has come to my attention. In Florida, a Ron Paul supporter put on the fence of his home Ron Paul signs. Now, it's his home. It's his fence. He put the signs on the fence, and a government official came by and took them down, essentially stole the signs. This is in Florida, I believe Orlando. Stole the signs, and then came back after he put them back up, came back and served him with a notice that he would be fined $1,000 per day if he didn't take the signs down off of his own fence. Do we own our property? Or does it belong to the government and then they give us permission to use it in a way that they see fit? Or is it our property that we can see fit? Do we have property rights or don't we? Do we have freedom of expression or don't we? Can we put a sign up for our candidate for whatever we support or whatever it may be on our own private property and express our opinion? Either we can or we can't. And apparently, in this case, we can't. Yet another example. Now, this is almost identical to the example of Brian Orr, who we had on the show about a month and a half ago, in another part of Florida, where he put a sign in his own property, in his house, and he was told that he had to take it down, or he would also be fined, and that he needed to place a bond in order to put a sign up in his own yard. Now, he fought that. He fought the law, and he won. He got the ACLU on his side, and they took it to court, and I don't know exactly what the process was, but the upshot was he won. So they're going to be fighting this in Florida, and they're going to be fighting this in New York, and this kind of tyranny cannot be allowed to persist. Freedom, use it or lose it. We need to exercise the freedoms that we have right now in defense of the freedoms that we may lose and that we have lost. If you don't use it now, you're gonna lose it all. So use it this weekend, October 13th, in your city or town, the All-America Walk for the Ron Paul Freedom Message. Go to www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com and look up and see where there's a walk in your neighborhood or in your city. And if there isn't one, there's still time left to get one going. So, we have a caller, I believe, on the line. Jason is calling. Are you on the line, Jason?
Hi, I'm Mr. Francis. My name's Jason Shields. I'm calling from Northwest Indiana, just outside of Chicago.
Okay.
I'm part of a Ron Paul meetup group here. and we did a signposting party, and we've run into a great deal of opposition with getting the word out. So I decided to change gears and step up the project here. I've been a truck driver for the past 10 years, and I thought the most effective way of fighting from where I currently stand would be to put together a national grassroots campaign. What I'd like to do is get in contact with each and every meetup coordinator across the nation and ask them to stockpile some of their grassroots campaign material and, in essence, give me a call, let me know what they have, and I'll tell them who in the primary states needs the support. The idea is if I'd like to build up support for the primary states, they don't have to worry about production, simply distribution.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping to coordinate this by telephone, seeing as it's going to be a momentous project when we hit Super Tuesday. To try and do it through email would be quite a burden and a whole lot of reading, whereas a phone call would be nothing more than acquiring their zip code, how much they have to ship, and telling them directly to ship it to this meetup group at this address.
Mm-hmm.
The difficulty I'm having is initially making those contacts. So I appreciate you for having me on the show. I'd like to ask if it's all right if I pass on my telephone number and appropriate time of contacting me.
Sure. So let me just recap your idea. Now, you're going to have a website, is that correct?
No, I don't have a website.
Okay.
I'm simply working through the RonPaulMeetup.com.
Okay.
I've been scanning through the calendar of events trying to find a telephone number and email. But it's a very time-consuming process
of the meetup organizers. You mean?
Yeah, I'm trying to find a way to make contact with someone in the group to get in contact with the meetup organizer.
You might have to do is email all of the organizers individually from their profiles. So you just go to ronpaul.meetup.com, enter the number of the group that you want to email to, find the organizer, click on his profile, and then send him an email. Tell him that you need his name and number and email address in order to get information about what he wants to contribute. So you want people to gather together their materials so that they're available to be sent to the to where they're needed the most, essentially.
Exactly, to the primary state coordinators, and then a whole rollback from the first primary states to the very last primary. Just a national support network of the meetup groups. I mean, we're all making grassroots material. To have them here locally is a wonderful thing, but to have them in the primary states, I can't help but think would be essential.
Sure.
That's what the national.
What you might want to do is start out by contacting the meetups and the official campaign representatives in the early primary states and ask them what their needs are, because it's possible that it's going to be well covered by the campaign. The campaign may have already made the decision that they're going to spend the money on materials and give them what they need to get the job done. In addition, it's possible that the campaign may have very specific ideas about what material they want to use in a particular state, given the demographics, And what I might have available here, for example, in Los Angeles, and what people locally may have produced here might not necessarily be what they want to use in Wyoming or Iowa. So
those. I'm open to suggestions. I'd simply like to put the system together, and then if the national level has suggestions, hey, knock this off. You're doing something that we don't want you doing.
Well, for those out there that wanna help you, Jason, help you develop this idea. And I think it's a good idea. I think you do need to consult with the people on the receiving end and see what it is that they need first. Sort of like the way the market works. First, you figure out what the market needs, and then you see what you can do to fulfill that need. So find out what the market need is first, and then go from there. But anybody who wants to help Jason, go ahead and give out your contact information.
Alrighty. My telephone number for the evenings from 5 till 10 Chicago time would be 219-374-7644. And my daytime telephone number from 4 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon would be 1-219-746-4491. So please, everybody, give me a call. I'll find out what the need is, and I will direct what you have to offer.
Great. Yeah, exactly. Do you have an email address to give out, too?
Yes, I do.
Go for that.
My email address is ftfoinc ronpaul2008@yahoo.com.
Okay, and for those who didn't get that information, the show will be archived on the site, so you can just go get it there, play it back, and get that information if you didn't get it down the first time. All right, well, that's a great idea. I hope you develop it well. And what did you think about Dr. Paul's speech at University of Michigan? It was pretty electrifying.
Sounds quite good to me. As for personal liberties and what you touched on later about the individuals being fined for what they did on their own property, I can personally relate to it with my own experiences. I support exactly the stance you take. They have no business in my home.
Absolutely.
But then again, we don't own our home, do we? You don't pay your property taxes, see what happens.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. How much do you own it, you know, and you have to ask permission for how to use it, so is it really yours, you know? Very interesting, very interesting. Well, freedom, use it or lose it. So we're all out there exercising our freedoms to the max right now, because we don't want to lose any more of them before it's too late. So thank you so much for calling into the show, Jason. Don't be a stranger. Call in any old time, okay?
All right, I'll call you next week, Vincent.
Very good.
Mr. Vincent.
All right, thank you. Have a good one. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you so much for that call, Jason. So let's go ahead and listen to a little bit of Ron Paul on the Abrams Report. And we'll go ahead and put that up on the Abrams Report yesterday.
You could easily be fooled into believing he's not a Republican at all. The Texas congressman is the only Republican candidate who is a clear and harsh critic of the Iraq War, believes the Bush administration is violating civil liberties, and says Republicans haven't controlled spending. And as he did last night, he gets to take on those other Republicans at every presidential debate.
This war is a mistake. It was a mistake to go in.
We're losing this one. We shouldn't be there. We ought to just come home.
We've dug a hole for ourselves, and we've dug a hole for our party.
It was a mistake to go, so it's a mistake to stay.
We can achieve much more in peace than we can ever achieve in these needless, unconstitutional, undeclared wars.
Why don't we run on George Bush's foreign policy of a humble foreign policy and no nation building?
Okay.
Don't we remember that when you sacrifice liberty for security, you lose both? How many more do you want to lose? How long are you going to be there? How long? Right. What do we have to pay to save face? That's all we're doing is saving face. It's time we came
gentlemen,
home.
Gentlemen.
Joining me now is Republican presidential candidate and Congressman Ron Paul. Mr. Paul, thanks very much for taking the time to come on. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so we've just watched all of these pieces of sound of you really sticking it to the other candidates. The first question I want to ask you is, do they even talk to you behind the scenes? I mean, are these guys even willing to say hello before and after these debates?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cordial. We don't discuss politics when we're off the debates. It's always hello and it's always cordial, so there's never been any harsh
words.
But
you've got to be the guy that they're not that interested in talking to out.
I wanted to point out that the lower third on the screen reads, behind the GOP maverick. So he's moved up from, let's see, what were the appellatives previously, the no-name candidate or the low in the polls or other such denigrating terms, and now he's a maverick. I like that. I think being a maverick is a good place to be.
outside of these debates?
Well, they don't want to hear about me in the debates is the big point. They don't want the issues of the Republican Party brought to the forefront and ask the questions, why don't we follow our own rhetoric? And that's what I've been doing, because I believe strongly that the Republican Party has stood for less government, and I'm determined to defend that position.
And if you don't get the nomination, will you run as a third-party candidate?
I have no plans to do that. I do not intend to do that.
Here's the name that we heard again and again and again last night, and it is a familiar name. I want to ask you about it. Let's listen.
Now, you asked me about Hillary Clinton.
Vis-a-vis meeting with most likely Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton was asked.
Of course, that's what Hillary Clinton wants to do.
Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Care is government gets in.
Remember the Hillary bond program?
The Hillary Clinton plan?
That's all from last night. Everyone's talking about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, you wonder what they're doing. You know, if I wanted to talk about her, you know, I could make a case for my candidacy being pretty strong, because she's pretty weak on the war issue and she's ready to go to war against Iran. She's pretty weak on civil liberties when she supports the Patriot Act.
Are you guys all just assuming that she's going to be the Democratic nominee?
Well, at least the others who have spontaneously brought her name up must be assuming that. But, you know, 4 or 3 years ago, I guess Howard Dean was thought to be the nominee, and quickly he faded. So my personal opinion is that she may well not be the nominee, but I'm not in that business of predicting.
How have you been able to raise the kind of money that you've been able to raise? I think you've been a surprise candidate in the sense that you're moving up comparatively. Why do you think that's happening?
Well, I think the people are starved for this message that I have, limited government, and they're disgusted with what the Republicans have done. They were elected in 94 and 2000. To shrink the size of the government, and what did they do? They expanded it, and they know that I will do what I say.
Do you want President Bush's endorsement?
That has not crossed my mind, because I know it wouldn't come. I mean, he didn't endorse
me. Would you want it? If he said, I want to know, do you want my endorsement?
I would lose credibility. I think that would hurt me. He wouldn't offer it, and
you
I wouldn't
would
ask
You would say
him.
No to President Bush's endorsement?
No, I would lose all credibility, because I've run against his policies. I've been coming from a conservative viewpoint, and he's from the neoconservative viewpoint, so I don't represent the neoconservatives. I represent traditional conservatives and the Constitution, and he really has supported another position, and also the reason the Republican Party is in shambles. So I would say that it wouldn't do me any good with his endorsement.
Ron?
I like that very much. No, thank you. We can do quite well without the endorsement of George Bush. As a matter of fact, as Dr. Paul pointed out, that would pretty much destroy Dr. Paul's credibility. Who could take him seriously with the endorsement of George Bush? So maybe that might be their last tactic. The last arrow in the quiver will be an endorsement by George Bush. Their way of taking down the campaign is by giving it the endorsement. Now, actually, that brings me to a point. I think that if you start to dig a little bit under the surface of some of what has been happening in the last week with regards to the media, major figures in the media giving attention and positive attention to Dr. Paul, friendly attention to Dr. Paul, seemingly friendly attention to Dr. Paul, if you scratch the surface, I am willing to bet that in some, not all cases, but in some cases, what you're going to find is, if you can't beat them, which they can't, join them. Subterfuge by adopting the mantle of the freedom message of Dr. Paul's positions. Now, this is a common tactic in politics. If your opponent is starting to resonate with the public and they found an angle that's working for them, then you simply migrate to that position and claim that it's your position and that it always has been your position. You know, in 1984, the classic book of totalitarianism, they routinely switch sides in the ongoing, never-ending war in the book, and then they just tell you, Oceania is at war with Eurasia. Oceania has always been at war with Eurasia. even though they just went to war with Eurasia a week ago. They just tell you that, and this is the same thing. Now Glenn Beck is a libertarian. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's this, like, libertarian. The only problem is Ron Paul isn't a good libertarian, isn't a good libertarian representative. But libertarianism itself and the philosophy behind it, he's all for. Yeah, right. But so embrace the message and try to replace the messenger by embracing it. This is a little bit of what we're seeing. They can't beat us, so they're going to try to join us. They're going to try to take over the message and, of course, ultimately dilute it, water it down, twist it around, mess with it. But there are... This is part of what's happening. This is my analysis that I'm presenting to you now. Keep your eyes peeled. Keep your guns cocked or whatever. Keep your knives sharp. Keep sharp. Because some of it's true and valid, and I think that people like Jack Cafferty are on the ball and are not playing games with us. But I think that there are certain individuals that are suddenly out of nowhere embracing Ron Paul and the freedom message, who are doing so only to subvert it. So watch that. Something very key to keep. Now, here's an example. I received a report from the San Diego meetup that a member of theirs had an encounter with Laura Ingraham. Now, if you recall, Laura Ingraham introduced Ron Paul at the Iowa straw poll, and she presented him in an extremely disrespectful way. Very flippant and disrespectful towards Ron Paul and his supporters, saying that the inmates have left the asylum, and you know, in regards to the Ron Paul supporters at the event. And now apparently she's making comments that are quite friendly and, you know, gracious. Now I think that's great. I'm suspicious, but we will hopefully be having a report from the individual who had the encounter with Laura Ingraham tomorrow on the show, so tune in for that. There are other examples. Let's go to Tucker Carlson. Again, now Tucker, he's singing a pretty good tune lately with regards to Dr. Paul. Can't complain, but, you know, I'm still cautious, but let's see what old Tuck has to say. Oops. Let's go ahead and bring the volume up. That'll help.
Totally baffles me. Why don't we just open up the Constitution and read it? You're not allowed to go to war without a declaration of war. Now, as far as fleeting enemies go, yes, if there's an imminent attack on us, we've never had that happen in 220 years. The thought that the Iranians could pose an imminent attack on the United States is preposterous. There's no way. This is just war propaganda. Continue war propaganda, preparing this nation to go to war and spread this war not only in Iraq but into Iran unconstitutionally. It is a road to disaster for us as a nation. It's a road to our financial disaster if we don't read the Constitution once in a while.
Woo! That was Republican Congressman Ron Paul on fire at yesterday's debate. Paul is trying to remind us, the Republican Party, what exactly it means to be conservative, and it appears the candidates are not listening. So why is he keeping up the fight? We're going to ask the man himself. Joining us now, Ron Paul of Texas. Mr. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
You have this unexpected, at least some people did not expect it, wellspring of support across the country, mostly from anti-war people, and they sent you a great deal of money. And I wonder, do they know about your other views? They know that you're passionately opposed to the war and...
just have to pause that there. You know, I don't think Tucker Carlson meant anything by that, but it's certainly not accurate at all to say that the Ron Paul support comes primarily from anti-war people. That's not my experience. I don't really feel or see that in any way, shape, or form. I think that it comes primarily from people that are concerned about freedom and freedom from incessant war. I think it's just one of those facets that that motivates people to join the Ron Paul campaign. Let's let Tucker continue now.
Or intervening in other countries, but do they know how strongly you support the Second Amendment, for instance, or how you want to eliminate federal departments? Do they know that?
Well, see, he's trying to make the implication here that basically Ron Paul supporters are Democrats that have defected from the Democratic Party, and that they're lefty liberals. You know, and that if these lefty liberals that have joined the Ron Paul revolution were to discover that he wanted to, you know, eliminate all the government programs that they think are so darling, that they would abandon the Ron Paul revolution. And this is just, I think that I don't get the impression that he's making these comments maliciously. I think he's just ill-informed.
I think so. I certainly believe that most people know about my position on the Second Amendment because they know I'm a stickler for the Constitution, and anybody who's knowledgeable about the Constitution knows that it's pretty explicit right in the Second Amendment. As far as which departments I'd like to get rid of and how fast, I haven't dwelled on that because, I mean, I know what we should do, but I also know that we have to get a consensus. The President has a lot of authority and can do an awful lot, but still, I would be one that would want to work with the Congress and make sure that we do it in a proper manner.
But I guess my point is, you don't buy the basic assumptions of American politics circa 2007, that the federal government ought to be subsidizing the middle class, that entitlements are constitutional, things like that. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely. We shouldn't be involved in that. The job of the government is to provide liberty and protect liberty. The people are supposed to take care of themselves, both in a personal way as well as an economic way. And we're not supposed to tell other countries how to live. That's what the Constitution dictates to us. That was the strong advice of the founders. And that's really what the people want. And this message is getting especially important today because a lot of people are realizing central economic planning doesn't work. They see failure at Washington. They, young people especially, know they can't get Social Security, and they saw the disaster trying to take care of New Orleans. So people have lost confidence, and I think that's a healthy sign, because they really should restore confidence in themselves and in local government, and then we can solve some of these problems.
You don't think that people expect and want government to take care of them? I mean, if you got up there on stage and said, you know, we should do away with Medicare, you know, save your own money for your own medical treatment, or, you know, set up a retirement account for yourself, Social Security is unconstitutional, people would look away in horror.
No, about half of them would, those on the receiving end. The other half, who are just going into the workforce, I offer this solution all the time to them: get out of Medicare and get out of Social Security, but assume responsibility for oneself. But at the same time, I say you don't have to put anybody out in the streets. We have plenty of money flowing into Washington. It's the way it's spent, and our priorities are all messed up. We can save hundreds of billions of dollars if we change our foreign policy and bring our troops home and actually build a stronger national defense, but save money, cut the deficit, and take care of the people that have become dependent. I don't think it would work politically to put anybody out in the streets. And we have several generations now have been very dependent. A lot of people think that their money still is there on Social Security. So there's enough wealth in this country to do this. But my argument is, if we continue to do what we're doing right now, we're going to have total destruction of the dollar, which means runaway inflation, and everybody's going to get poor, and there won't be any transition period. So I'm arguing for the transition and offering people personal liberty and the Constitution.
I agree with you completely. Let's say you don't get...
So it's nice to hear that Tucker agrees with him completely. What he was kind of, at two different points in this interview, he's trying to point out that politically, he thinks he's dealing with somebody who says what he says for political gain. And he doesn't quite totally get that Dr. Paul says what he says out of principle, regardless of the consequences politically. That he has his message, he has what he believes in, he presents it in the hope that people will respond to the freedom message, and in fact we are seeing that they will, and that they are. So Tucker is still a little bit stuck in the paradigm of politicians speaking whatever message at any point in time they think will bring the best political gain and result. So he needs to get that that is not what he's got with Dr. Paul.
Let's say you don't get the Republican nomination. Will you fight for a spot, a speaking spot at the Republican convention in Minneapolis?
I guess I'll look at it and see what we do. You know, if we do well in the primaries and it's deserving, we certainly should do that.
Would you ever entertain the idea of going third party?
I have no intention of doing that. That is not a very attractive thing.
Even if Rudy Giuliani gets the nomination, you would stand by and let him represent your party?
Well, I would think that he would have hijacked the party by then. It would be a pretty bad thing for the Republican Party. But right now, I don't have plans. I have plans to keep doing what I'm doing and see if we can rally the Republican base to see if they can be talked into restoring the values of limited government. The foreign policy that George Bush even talked about in the year 2000, a humble foreign policy and no nation building. There's no reason why Republicans can't be anti-war and be fiscally conservative and believe in the Constitution, believe in personal liberties. There's no reason why conservatives can't be civil libertarians.
Amen. I agree. And finally, Congressman, I keep reading about the money you have on hand. You've raised a lot of money, and you have almost all of it. Still, you haven't spent virtually anything. Do you pay your staff, and where do you stay when you travel?
We stay in motels like we do. We stay in the more modest hotels, and I still do fly commercial. We do have staff, and we do pay some, but the staff is very modest. It's very small compared to the others. And we have a lot of volunteers. As a matter of fact, we can't count our volunteers because they're out there doing their work and they're very independent. So, yes, it's a frugal campaign, but we plan to spend that money. The money was sent to us for a purpose. And we are making our plans to be very, very much involved in especially these early primaries. And that will be the determining factor on how we do in the first five or six primaries.
All right. Congressman Ron Paul, leader of the Ron Paul Revolution. Congressman, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much, Tucker.
Gotta love that, Congressman Paul, leader of the Ron Paul Revolution. You know, the tone is changing. The tone is changing. Now, in some cases, they're changing their tone because they're forced to, because they have to in order to keep up with the reality of the situation that the Ron Paul Revolution is for real, that we are having an enormous effect on the body politic, that we are shifting the balance of power politically in this country, that we are transforming the political landscape right now as we speak. They have to keep up with that. They can no longer put their heads in the sand and deny that this is the case. Some of these pundits are forced to give recognition to Dr. Paul and the message. Others are doing so because they generally are, I believe, turned on by what's happening. So we shall see how it all falls out. And I believe we have on the line right now someone who can give us a lot more insight into these matters. We have Mr. Paul Garfield, who is the official campaign representative in the crucial state of Michigan. Are you on the line with us, Paul? Hello, do we have Paul on the line? Okay, let's see what happened with Paul there. Okay. Let's see if we get him back on the line. We'll have Paul Garfield for you. There might be some kind of a technical problem of some sort, but we'll go on to the next clip in the meantime. Let's see. I wanted to play for you a very interesting piece from C-SPAN of people who called in. Here it is, to Washington Journal. So let's listen to a little bit of this.
We want to get your input if you watch the CNBC debate on the Republican presidential candidates last night or you're reading about it today in the papers. A lot of talk about the economy. We want to get your thoughts about what they said about the economy. Baltimore, Maryland, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. After watching, I've watched all the Republican debates. It's clear cut that it seems like Ron Paul has a firm grasp of reality when it comes to the issues that America is facing. Earlier when you had your comments, well, I don't know if it's commentator or not, but he stated that Ron Paul has no chance. And a lot of people in the media are stating that. So it kind of seems like the media is actually the ones that want to pick the candidates. And it seems like the more money you have, that determines if you're going to be president or not.
So specifically when it comes to Ron Paul, give me a specific about what he said or what he has said about the economy that impresses you.
As far as like the economy, our monetary system, I mean, that's the major problem. I mean, we're spending, and we're creating money, and it's like, where are we creating this money? It's just like out of thin air. We're borrowing from China, we're borrowing from Japan, and I mean, it's pretty much the monetary system. He has a down pack, and he's ready to get rid of the Federal Reserve. That I think the Federal Reserve should be abolished, because I mean, it's not federal about them, and they dub sure don't have no reserves. So
Here's Ron Paul from last night.
We're going broke. We have this huge deficit. We're spending nearly $1 trillion with maintaining our empire overseas, and that's a cost. Right now, we owe foreigners $2.7 trillion. No wonder they have money to come back in here and buy stuff up, and then we object. But that has to do with our monetary system as well as our foreign policy. So if we want prosperity, we have to change our foreign policy. We have to live within our means, but we can't maintain a reserve currency where all our greatest export today are paper dollars. We create money out of thin air, and they still accept it as if it was backed by gold. And that is the reason all this money goes overseas, and at the same time we finance all this military activity overseas. It's bankrupting this country. And not only that, it's a threat to our personal liberties here, and it's going to be a threat to our economy, because we are beginning to live beneath our means. And that is a natural consequence of what happens when you live beyond your means. So we must change our policy both overseas and domestically.
St. Mary's, Georgia. We are talking about Republicans on the economy stemming from the debate last night. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for C-SPAN. I've watched all the debates, and it seems to me that the candidates are just striking themselves out. I mean, you got Fred Thompson that striked himself out immediately for me when he says we're living on borrowed money, but then turns around and says that the economy is strong. You got candidates up there debating on whether we should use lawyers or any other method of going to war besides consulting or getting approval from Congress, and that strikes you out as a president right there. If you don't know that you need approval from Congress to go to war, then you don't need to be running for president. We don't need an authoritarian. Another reason that I strike some of the candidates out is because they are talking about preemptively striking another country, and this is not what America was built on. The only one that really stood out to me, and I'm not a crazy Ron Paul supporter, but he is the one that's speaking the truth. And I don't agree with everything that he says, but I got to tell you, he's winning by default.
Okay, have to leave it there. Bellefront, Pennsylvania.
Yes, I'm trying to figure out what happened to the Constitution. There seems to only be one person for following the Constitution. These candidates are a disgrace.
So the show goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Is Ron Paul Ron Paul supporter after Ron Paul supporter calling in to the Washington Journal? It's really quite charming, and you guys are doing a great job, and we need to see this. As a matter of fact, we do see this, as we know from Mr. Glenn Beck's complaint yesterday, that it's one call after another from Ron Paul supporters. Well, get used to it, because the Ron Paul revolution has only begun to grow. If you think you're hearing from Ron Paul supporters a lot now, wait a couple months from now when we've doubled and tripled in size. Let's also have a listen to the Carl Cameron post-debate interview. Now, he's a commentator on Fox News, and let me see if I can find that for you. Here we go. And it's quite, quite easy on the ears. A very friendly interview with Dr. Paul by Carl Cameron of Fox News. Coming right up.
And there was a sense in the group that we were talking to at Young's restaurant that all of the candidates were a little bit vague on what they would do in Iraq. But of them all, with the exception of Ron Paul, Mitt Romney seemed the most eager to find a way to get troops out soonest.
In watching this here in New Hampshire, where even the Republican conservatives have a deep libertarian streak, and even Democrats have a deep libertarian streak, there was a time 8 months ago or so when people were like, you know, Ron Paul doesn't belong on the stage. And now we see a tremendous number of questions coming to you. Some of the biggest applause lines back and forth during some of the things that you said. What does it say, not so much about your candidacy, but about people in the early primary states and your ability to communicate with them? What's happened to you in this process with them?
I think about this a lot, and I get this question asked a lot, and I come down to the conclusion very simply, freedom is popular. People like to be left alone, and that's all I'm talking about. I'm not promising anything. I'm not promising handouts or any freebies at once whatsoever. I want to just allow people to live their own lives and assume responsibility for themselves, but I have a way of solving the financial crisis we have by stopping the spending overseas, changing our foreign policy, and tied the people over that we have taught to be so dependent, those who are on Medicare and on Social Security. But we can't do it. Otherwise, we're going bankrupt. I mean, that's why we're having a financial crisis in this country right now. And if we don't change our way, everybody's going to lose a lot. And that's what I'm concerned about.
Is there a moment that you could point to where all of a sudden people started saying, wow, I get you?
I think it's constant and steady, and it's through the videos on the internet, and it's just numerous, and they spread by leaps and fires. Somebody told me if you Google Ron Paul and songs, there might be 100 songs out there. So people just love the message of liberty. It's not my message. It's a message of America, and people just love to hear it, and they know I'm very serious about this and that it works. Freedom does work.
So is the media treating you fair, Ron Paul?
I think all politicians think we could be treated better by the media. They say, why don't you get as much time as others?
You know, a lot of these candidates want to cut you off the debate stage.
Oh, yeah, they tried early on, and they were so discredited that it became a joke. And I was. I was excluded out in Iowa for one presidential forum. And so they had 600 people show up, and we had a rally next door, and we had 1,200 people. So I didn't cry about it, and we didn't obstruct, and we didn't boycott or anything else. We just quietly went next door and tried to show our strength. So that's been our approach.
You getting a fair shake from the media?
I think decent, but
how about Fox?
I think
how are we doing?
Fox, I wish they would be fair and balanced all the time.
Don't we all?
Okay, so that was fun. And then just another indication, part of the reason why I play all these media interview clips is to sort of give you the barometer of what the weather is like in the mainstream media, in the establishment media, with regards to Dr. Paul, the revolution, and the campaign. And certainly fair weather winds have been blowing lately, and well, I will certainly be keeping you posted on this as it develops. So I'm going to go ahead and leave you for today. There is a lot of material that I have not even had a chance to play for you, but there will be more tomorrow. And keep in mind that on this coming Saturday, it is the All-America Walk in support of Ron Paul's Freedom Message. So look at www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com and go ahead and check that out and see. Go to the All-America Walk page and see where the walks are in your neighborhood. You may have heard that the biggest Ron Paul signs ever were constructed out in the Mojave Desert, somewhere between Las Vegas and Los Angeles. Absolutely enormous, huge Ron Paul signs on some private property. I know folks from the Los Angeles group were out there helping to build that. So we continue to be very effective and very out there in the work that we're doing. Guys, keep it up out there. We are winning this fight. Hard to believe, but we are actually winning this fight. All we need to do is keep on doing what we're doing. Until tomorrow, Stephen Vincent, The Freedom Message, www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com.